Well, good morning, everybody. I am happy to be with you guys on this very special Memorial Day weekend. I am sorry to disappoint you. I don't look as handsome as Pastor Daniel Hernandez. I'm sorry to disappoint all the skinny jeans critics in here. I'm wearing skinny jeans, apparently, according to Bud, and I like it. Happy to be here with you guys. Bud came over to me over there, and he started just praying for me because he's real fearful that I will not do well today. And always just a good friend, you know, you decide. And he was so close to me, I told Katie, I said, I'm going to have to tell the people he didn't kiss me in the front row. You know, I was like, but we value deep friends, and we all need great friends that prays for us and stands with us and cares about our well-being. So, Bud, thank you for that. Love you guys. I'm excited to be here. And this has been an amazing weekend already. I just came back from San Antonio yesterday, and I realized that half of West Texas went there. The way I realized that half of West Texas are there is because the dudes was walking. You know, West Texas guys, they walk funny, you know? Have you noticed? They kind of walk like this, and I've been told it's because of the way they starch their jeans. Apparently, the jeans have to be starched so hard that it can stand by its own. You know, and when I say they walk funny, they just are strong cowboys, you know, so it's not funny in a bad way, it's just you can spot them. And I was like, oh, West Texas, just saw all these men. But I am happy to be here because the Lord says only a remnant will be saved, you know, and of the faithful. And so maybe you and I are part of the remnant today that decided to come back and worship the Lord together. I've been tasked to preach on Don't Forget Faith. We are in our series, as you guys know, Don't Give Up, and it's been a powerful series with a lot of great messages. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the idea of not forgetting your faith. Don't forget faith. The reason I want to talk to you about this, and the reason we feel it's important to talk about this, is because faith is what moves believers forward. This is the substance in the life of the believer that dictates whether we engage and actively walk in the purposes and the will of God or not. So you can be a believer, and if you forget your faith, you'll find yourself in orbits and you'll think, man, surely this is not it. And most likely that's true, but oftentimes as believers, we are tempted to forget faith. And before I get into that message, I just felt this impressed in my heart as I've been praying and just thinking about this moment, thinking about you guys and those that's online with us, the remnant that's watching online too, so welcome for you as well, is James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit to God, then resist the devil. As believers, we are called to submit to God and then resist the devil. We can't resist the devil if we're not submitted to God. Does that make sense? And so this morning, I want you to come with me as we look at a chapter in Hebrews, a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 11, where I want to encourage you, even before we get going, that by the end of this, we all as believers are going to have to resist the enemy after we've submitted to God. When we submit to God, we have the strength and the ability to actually resist the devil. And the Bible says, when you resist the devil, if you submitted to God, he will flee from you. And every one of us in here, I know there's somewhat of a gap. In my life, there's somewhat of a gap. God's shown me things. He's promised me things. There's been great words of encouragement, prophetic words or stuff that's come over the years. And often when I look at my life or those around me that I care about or our church, you see there's a gap. And this morning, I'm telling you, God's going to encourage us and exhort us to submit to him fully yet again, not get saved again. As believers, we need to continually submit ourselves to the Lord. So I'm not saying, hey, everybody's getting saved today. I believe that you guys have given your life to the Lord. But as we've submitted our hearts and minds and lives fully to the Lord, that we'll be able to resist the devil and that we will watch him flee from us. Okay? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for our church. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being with your people this morning. Lord, this is a privilege. Lord, to be with your people and with you, Father. Lord, I pray as we get into your word, Lord, as we talk about this message, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that every one of us will be moved forward, whether we're in this room or online watching, that we will be moved and propelled forward by faith. Lord, we look to you, our eyes and our gaze is fully set on you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would go in your Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to be reading two verses, verse 8, 9, and 10, three verses essentially. And I'm going to share a couple of thoughts out of that that I think would help us. Now, when they give you Hebrews chapter 11 to preach out of, you know, it's kind of a tough thing to do because who do you leave out of the hall of faith in your message, you know? And who do you zoom in on and focus in on? And I just felt that I want to focus heavily on Abraham, the father of our faith. So in as you get there in your Bibles, you can get there on your phone. I hear pages going and I see phones clicking. We can read our Bible many ways these days. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. I'm going to read with you. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he, Abraham, was looking forward to this city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. All of us in this room that profess faith in Jesus are known as Christians. We are those that follow Christ. We had a moment, we had a divine encounter with the truth of God, and we gave our life to Jesus. That's what makes a believer. A believer is not someone that merely acknowledges God, it's someone that follows God actively every single day. They pick up their cross and they say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, my King, and I'm following him. And as Mid-Cities Church, we believe in the Lordship of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus. Abraham, when he was called by God, was living in the land of Ur, okay, with his family, and they were not Christians. They were not followers of Christ. They did not know and understand the lordship, the kingship of a monotheistic God, of one God that's supreme over all the earth and all of his creation. They believed in something called polytheism, which means plural, multiple gods. So there was a lot of worship happening. So if you go in some parts of the world today, like in the eastern parts of our world, and you'll see Hinduism, where there's 330 million gods. I mean, that's confusing. I'm trying to worship one, and it's hard. Abraham lived in this setting. That was their way of life. And then God came to Abraham, and he called Abraham out of that land, out of that way of life. And Abraham had to decide, based on his knowledge and understanding of who this God is that he met, that he encountered, whether he's going to follow him or not, whether he's going to obey him or not. You and I, when God comes to us in our lives, we have to decide, will I obey him and follow him based on what I know about him? In fact, if we don't know God well, we struggle obeying him because we don't fully understand that he is supreme over all of his creation. We are insecure about following God. Abraham had insecurities just like us. He was a man just like us. When we read the Bible, oftentimes in our minds, we think, surely he didn't have my in-laws. Surely he didn't have my governing authorities that's frustrating me. Or surely he didn't have this person or that person or this situation. Abraham was a man like us. And God, in his divine wisdom and sovereign will, entered Abraham's life, at the time he wanted to, desire to, so that he can start something new and build a nation that's his people. And Abraham, after his encounter with God, and God said, hey, I'm calling you to go to a new land, Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed only, exclusively, because Abraham had faith. Abraham had faith. Abraham had a lot to lose, and he wasn't called in his youth either. Abraham wasn't a young guy with the world as his oyster and saying, man, I want to go and get away from family. Abraham had a family. He needed security. He had a lot going on in his life, and he didn't want to change. How many of y'all want to make major life decisions when you're 90? It's not the time of life where you make big choices, you know? Once you hit your 30s, I'm already thinking, man, I can't believe I used to think about doing that. And I'm just 30, I'm far away from 90. And God called Abraham, but Abraham obeyed because Abraham had faith. After Abram encountered this living God, the God of the universe, see, Abram, much like us and the people in that time, tried to make their own way back to God. They tried to build their moral ladders to get to who they thought God was. And here God comes into Abraham's life. In his sin, he says, hey, I'm calling you to begin a nation out of you that will become my people and will be known as my people. And I'm going to come through them and bring a savior into this world. And his name will be Jesus. And Abraham had a lot on him. Would you have wanted to be Abraham? I mean, the magnitude, the gravity of that call of God is unbelievable. The pain of having to leave your family, of leaving everything that's known to you. He did not have other Christians that testified, oh, it's great following Jesus, man. He didn't have testimonies that he could go off of. He had to go off this encounter with the living God. And Abraham recognized in this encounter, this God's real. This God is like nothing I've ever seen. All these other made-up gods, all these other ideas, all these other ways that we have invented to get ourselves closer to who we think God is. When he encountered the living God, Abraham said, yes, Lord. Because he understood what a king looks like. When you meet the real Jesus, you say, yes, Lord. The Bible says, on the day of judgment, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Why? Because at that time, there'll be a full revelation of the Lord himself. And the most vehement atheist will say, wow, you are Lord. The person that says, I don't believe in this Jesus that you talk about that's verified in history or whatever, even they will go. Those that ridiculed you and laughed you for following Jesus, everybody in this moment, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, because when you encounter the living God, you can't help but bow. You can't help but worship and say, wow, oh my God. Goodness, this is incredible. I've heard people talk about how they had seen someone really great that they admired that was a worldwide celebrity like Nelson Mandela. I had a friend that had a dinner with George W. Bush one time, and he said, the moment I saw him enter the room, he surpassed all my expectations, and I couldn't help but just love the guy. There was just something about who he was in person. Can I tell you, I mean, with all due respect to any president there's ever been in any nation, there's nothing compared to the glory of God. That even angels that seen him for as long as they've been created, however long that, let's say a billion years, every time they see him, they bow down and worship. Wow, you are mighty, you are holy, they can't help it. Just his presence forces, it impels worship in us. And just like his presence impels worship in us, faith impels obedience in the heart of the believer. As believers, we cannot get in debates with God whether we want to follow him or not. That's not the way of the believer. The believer says, yes, Lord, because our faith impels us, it moves us to obedience. In fact, you know someone is a real believer when you watch them obey God in the most hard times of their life, in tough decisions, in obscure scenarios, they still choose to obey God. That's a believer. Believers are not people that confess that they believe, because demons believe. A lot of people believe. If there was a Muslim here today, a true Muslim, he would say, I believe in Jesus, but he doesn't understand who Jesus is. And we as believers understand our God is God. And when he calls, we obey. J.I. Packer, one of my favorite theologians, said, we are justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone. What does that mean? He's elaborating on what James said in James chapter 2, verse 18, when he said, you tell me that you have works and that I have faith, but you will see my faith by my works. I want to encourage you as a believer and remind you as a believer, don't forget faith. Real faith, true faith is seen in obedience. We, Mid-Cities Church, are called to be a people that obeys God. When God says no, we say yes, sir. When God says go, we say yes, sir. When God says give, we say yes, sir. Because we obey our God. We don't live for a man. We don't live for a people. We live for a God with a people. We live in obedience to God. Your children, father, dads in here, needs to see you radically obey your God. Moms, daughters needs to see you radically obey God, even when it hurts. Sons, daughters in here, God needs to see you. Your friends, your community needs to see, man, these people really believe God because they obey him. They are his children. My roommate in college one day, he was an atheist, and I wasn't a Christian yet. I was a believer, quote unquote, but I wasn't a Christian. I didn't give my life to the Lord. And I couldn't understand how I could be an atheist. I said, Mike, there's too much evidence that there's a God. Mike, I would just be on Mike every day. I could not understand. And I loved Mike. I wanted Mike to believe just like I did. And Mike said, Ernie, I don't understand why you want me to worship your God. I live better than you do, man. I'm more faithful. I don't party till 4 in the mornings. I don't lie to girls and have multiple goals at the same time. I don't do this. And he started listing all my sins. And I looked at him. I said, Mikey, you're right. That's a problem. And my atheist roommate convicted me to become a real Christian. It's like, man, I think I'm a fake Christian. Our obedience is evidence of real faith, not our claim. This is what God's calling us to do, is to live lives of great faith, and it's seen in obedience. Second point I want you to see here, and I think this text helps us see, is by faith, we are all called to a new place. By faith, you and I are all called to a new place. As Christians, God's always calling us from one place to another place. Abraham was somewhere, and God called him somewhere else physically. Now, I'm not saying God's calling all of you guys to the lake or to the beach, because you are saying, please say that's the Lord. I've been waiting for that confirmation. I'm not saying that God's calling you to move to another city. Maybe for you, it's to stay. Maybe that's what your faith is to stay. But what I do know is God's calling every one of us in here to go from this place to that place, to go from here to there, but it's gonna have to happen by faith. We respond to God's call by faith. We say, God, I hear your calling, I'm gonna obey you, and I'm gonna trust you. Some of us, maybe you're in a relationship that you know is toxic and is unhealthy for you. You shouldn't be in that relationship. But you hold on to this relationship because in your mind, there's nothing worse you can think of than let going of this relationship. But this relationship is not blessing you or your walk with God or the call on your life. And it's gonna take faith to get out of that friendship. It's gonna take faith to get out of that community. Every time you get with these people, you recognize, oh my gosh, I leave here feeling depleted. I feel dead on the inside, and I feel like I've been pulled away from God by these people. It takes faith to go walk and live with the people God's called you to live. God's calling us, Mid-Cities, to a new place in him. And we gotta go by faith. It is by faith that we respond to the call of God in our lives. Maybe your marriage has been in one place and you're just tired of where your marriage is at. And you think, maybe if I just find someone new. No. By faith, you gotta stay and ask God to take this marriage that he blessed and that he sealed, that was consummated before the Lord and blessed by the Lord with witnesses, and say, God, maybe it's not somewhere new or someone new. Maybe you wanna do something new in me, or something new in my spouse. Or maybe you've been frustrated with your children and you're stuck with your kids and you can't think, how do I get my kids to just see what I'm saying and understand? You're gonna have to have faith that God will move them into a new place. You can't go change them in and get another one. As good as that may sound sometimes, I thought to myself one day, I said, if my kids act that way again, I'm gonna tell them, I'm gonna change them in for new kids. I said, I didn't drop you off this way. I don't know what happened. When I dropped you off, you were perfect. And I don't know what happened there, but I want my own kids back. What's your name again? God's calling us, Mid-Cities, to a new place. You know, post-COVID, I think COVID has affected a lot of people's lives. It's affected us financially, emotionally, relationally. It's affected us psychologically. Some of us have lost loved ones. I mean, there's been a lot of trauma. And there's been a real major reshuffle. And I know a lot of people that's reconsidering a lot of things in their life. And I can't help but think And I just fully believe with all my heart that God's not calling anybody to go back. We can't say, oh, I wish it was like this again or like this again. I think God's calling us forward. I believe God's calling us to move forward, to move ahead, but it's going to require faith. You cannot forget the essential ingredient of faith. Don't forget your faith. You know, when we come to the Lord and we give our lives to Him, we feel this euphoric moment. Some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us, it's the gradual experience and relationship that builds. But most of us can, to some degree, admit that, man, there was something special about becoming a child of God. And that the first couple months, maybe, the honeymoon phase, you were just, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And you were excited, and there was a zeal in you and all this. And then God told you to, or kind of made you, or led you to believe that maybe these relationships aren't very good for you, or these conversations, or these things you've been watching or listening to is not good for you. And you've just not really applied your faith in that area, and you have not really obeyed. And over years of not fully obeying 100% radical obedience, saying, God, I'm listening to your every word fully. I'm leaving behind what's behind, and I'm looking forward to what's ahead. You find yourself years later thinking, man, I'm kind of in the same place. Anybody relate with that? You're like, I've not moved forward as far as I think I would. The good news is you can. The challenging newsflash, is you're going to have faith. And not just, oh, I'm going to have faith. No, I'm going to act on my faith. I'm going to take new steps. You can't stay in the same orbit and say, God, please change my environment. Please change my circumstances. But you are unwilling to move and obey God to a new place in faith. When I came to the Lord in South Africa, my immediate community was a tight-knit community, and I cared for them. I quickly realized that if I stay in this community, it's not going to be good for my faith. It required faith to leave and disconnect from that community. Because you know what happens when you disconnect from a people because of God? They don't say, hey, good job, Ernie, good for you. Hey, awesome, man, hey. They say, what is wrong with you? And then you start hearing all the stories about what's wrong with you from everyone else in that community. It took faith to move and endure the gossip. It took faith to walk down the streets and look at old friends that I used to do certain things with, look at me and just talk to one another about me. I can kind of hear what they're saying, and I'm walking there and I feel moments of shame. But what was so amazing is in the moment of fighting the shame that those people are trying to push on me, as I just stayed the course and walked by faith, I started seeing God bring people into my life that I needed in my life more than those people. I started meeting God in ways in my personal life, in my personal walk with Him, in ways I never thought I would. I'm in bed at 9 o'clock reading a book. What 20-year-old is reading a book at 9 o'clock at night in his bed? Friends are calling. The phone text messages are going off. Hey man, party is incredible here. I won't use the same vernacular. It won't be appropriate. The party is going on. You got to come. And I'm like, no. I'll pick you up for breakfast in the morning. I'm reading my Bible. What? It's faith that moves us from places of death and complacency and sinful and harmful behavior into a new place, into new communities. It takes faith. You can't forget the necessity, your need to walk and live by faith. Goodness, somebody say amen. Are y'all hearing me? I feel like y'all are like falling asleep here. In John chapter 3, God was talking to a religious person. I bet you are here because you're somewhat of a religious person. And this was not just a religious person, it was a religious leader. Well acquainted with the law of God. He was a Jew, his name was Nicodemus, and Jesus has this all-important conversation with him. He says, Nicodemus, and Nicodemus recognized that this was God. Just like Abraham, he recognized, man, this is God, and I need to obey this guy, but Nicodemus wasn't yet ready to obey God. And Jesus looks at him, and I would imagine kindly, gently, yet very firmly, he said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will never see or enter my kingdom. See, it's faith that allows us to see and dwell in the ways of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world. There's two kingdoms and two kingdoms alone. There's not a third. You either dwell and walk in fear and enslaved to the kingdom of this world of darkness, or you live in faith, by faith, continually in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of God. And Jesus looked at him and he said, listen, I can tell you a lot of things. I can entertain you. I mean, I always think, Jesus, there's so much you could have told this guy, Nicodemus. So much. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll never see or enter my kingdom. And I don't want to focus on the born again part, but it's seeing and entering the kingdom of God. God's not calling us to see the kingdom in a distance and feel like we could never attain it or be a part of it. People go to church for years and years, feeling like outsiders within the fellowship of the body of Christ because they don't live by faith. They don't experience faith like we do. God's calling you and I to live by faith and to receive his call by faith to go into new places. Tap the person next to you and say, you're going new places. And tap them back and say, you need faith. Come on. Let me just wrap that thought up with this. It's in faith and by faith that we will find ourselves in places of purity. It takes great faith to say no to the lust of the flesh. It takes great faith to say no to tempting, sneaky ways of making money. It takes great faith to forgive people and love people and let them come close to you, knowing that, man, they're as flawed as you are. It takes great faith. It takes faith to live the life God's called us to live. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God, to live in his will and his ways. It takes great faith. It's gonna take great faith for some of you to start being the generous person you've been feeling God calling you to be. Some of y'all are saying, man, I know I need to sow and I know I need to give some resources. God has blessed us with more than what we need. And I just am so fearful I might lose it and things would go wrong. And you're just hoarding everything. It's gonna take faith for you to become the cheerful giver God's called you to be, the generous person. Some of you guys have been in cycles of poverty and you never have enough and you make bad choices. And you know now, you've recognized these are bad choices. I shouldn't make these same choices. I shouldn't drive this car at that interest rate. Practically, your decisions has affected your economic health. It's gonna take faith to get to a place where you have new habits and say no to things where you feel pressured to have. It takes faith. It's gonna take faith when you look at your marriage and you think, oh my gosh, this marriage is frustrating. Anybody married in here? Right? This marriage is frustrating and it's this person. No, it's a lack of faith. God is working and I can change before my spouse changes, but it's gonna take faith. There's been moments in our marriage where Katie has had to have great faith. Because she's perfect and I'm not. I'll just end it with that. But it takes faith to be married. It takes great faith to trust God that he will answer some of the deepest needs and cries our hearts have within relationships, meaningful relationships, kingdom relationships, friendships. It takes faith. It takes great faith. I really believe this, Mid-Cities. I believe this for every one of us in here and watching. God's calling us to continually and always be growing in our faith and going to new places. We're not called to stay the same. We're not called to stay in the same place, to live in orbits that's been there for a long time. And you're like, man, I'm so ready. I'm so done with this season. Anyone ever feel like I'm just done with this season? I feel like I should move on, but I don't know how. With faith, because faith moves to action and action puts you in new places so God can move. It's by faith you go make a new friendship, and through this friendship, God works in your life in a way, and you look up and you say, man, when I met you, I was not there. Now I'm here. It is through people, through faith, through action where we see God move, the body of Christ move. It's gonna take faith for some of you guys to get out and go on a mission trip and go share the gospel with people that's desperately needing to hear the name of Jesus. It's going to take faith for you to send missionaries and church planters all over the world to go and take the name of Jesus so his kingdom can expand. It's all mid-cities. It's all going to take faith. It's going to take faith when you look at your children and they go through a lot to not react in that moment and say, oh my gosh, but to go to your knees and say, God, as I'm submitted to you, I'm resisting the devil on behalf of my children. And you see God get the devil off of their back. It's going to take faith. And I'm not mad at anybody. It's interesting for all of us, I've done this. Even recently, the Lord convicted me. We tolerate way too much of the devil in our lives. We tolerate, and when I say we, I'm in there. I'm saying we on purpose. We okay with the world coming in to try and work and erode our faith. But the people of God, we are called to be a people. When the world looks at us, say, oh my goodness, these people are so different. Why? Because they live by faith. They've not forgotten the faith that God's given them. They are stewarding that faith and they are acting upon it. It takes faith. And we are called to be a people of great faith, to live by faith, to walk by faith, to speak in faith, and to see our faith work. Those that are justified, what J.I. Packer said, so powerful. Those that are justified, those that's in Christ, that's true believers, their lives will testify of this relationship with the living God. When I met Katie, there was so much in my life that was going in one direction. I loved the Lord. I gave him my life and that was going right and good. And I could never have imagined how one relationship and deciding to get into this new relationship, to go to a new place with this American girl would get me into a place with God and into places in his kingdom that I could have never imagined. If this relationship with my spouse can change my life so much, how much more not our relationship with Jesus? People say, well, I gave my life to Jesus. Okay, is your life any different? No. What do you mean your life's not different? Well, I gave my life to him. My sins are paid for. You think Jesus died so your sin can be forgiven and never talk to you about anything else in your life? No, he's called you to live by faith, to climb mountains, to conquer giants. Everyone in this room, if you are a son of God or a daughter of God, are called to live a life of great faith. It may look different than the person next to you. That's okay, but it's not okay to not live a life of faith and to go to new places with the Lord. Oh, I remember the Lord did this miracle 10 years ago. What did God do last month? What is God doing right now? Is he doing something new in your life? He hasn't moved in my life in over 10 years. God fell asleep? Did God lose interest in you? We know that's not true. What happened? Man, I'm forgetting to live by faith. I'm not living by faith. And you need to make some business decisions in your life. And you think, man, if I do this, it's gonna be a great reward. Is it gonna honor God? I don't know. But are you doing it by faith? Are you radical in your obedience to God by faith? Are you walking and responding to God's call to new places by faith? And then lastly, are you to receive the inheritance of God by faith? Are you understanding this idea that there is a great inheritance, not just for you, but for your children, your descendants? When we moved from South Africa to America, I was in the YMCA in Franklin, Tennessee. I was on one of those static bikes. You work hard, but you don't go anywhere. And I was wrestling with the Lord. I was wrestling with God. I was frustrated. God called me to leave South Africa, and life was really good. I was not coming for an American dream. I came because God called me to a new place. And I had to have great faith to leave everything behind. And I came to America, and I'm dwelling in this new land. Even though my wife's an American, I feel like a stranger and a foreigner, and I feel like the promises of God is getting further and further and further away from me, and I'm not seeing immediately, instantly, the promises of God being fulfilled. I thought if I land in America, it's gonna be like a great reception, the will of God is gonna manifest, things are gonna work out, and it's gonna be hallelujah all the way. And how many of us know that's not the case? You have an amazing moment with God. God reveals you something about your future or his person or something, and you feel like you see the opposite, and you're like, what is going on? And I'm wrestling in my heart and I'm frustrated. I'm not even saying anything. You know when men get quiet, that you know they're really mad, right? I'm just trying to take it out on this bike and I'm working hard. I'm put that resistance up as high as I can. I'm pouring down sweat. My calves are cramping and I'm like, I'm so frustrated. And I just hear the Lord speaking to me in the middle of my frustration. He says, hey, could Abraham do what I called him to do without me? I said, no, Lord. It was more like, no, Lord. He says, do you think you can do what I called you to do without my help? And in that moment, it's like the Lord spoke to my heart and settled something in my soul. One, I can't go by what I see. Because God's always doing something, even when it feels like he's not. But I can't stop having faith. I can't give up. I can't quit. I can't give in. I can't forget to have faith. And start moving and operating in faith, and stop moving and operating in faith. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, hey, how about, what if I'm gonna do what I showed you through your children? You know, I never considered that. I never thought about that. I never thought, maybe God showed me something that he's gonna fulfill through one of my children's children. I didn't think that way because Ernie, selfish Ernie, I wanna see God move through my life now. I want people to see me and say, oh, look at that man of God, and wow, God's moving through him. And if he's not, then I walk around with a puffed up bottom lip. Oh, God. And I'm tempted to give up. Now, I've got a lot of kids, so I can really illustrate how they behave very well. And I don't do it like that, but I feel like that sometimes. Come on, somebody. By faith, we receive an inheritance that's multi-generational. When you make decisions of obedience to God and you respond in faith to the call of God on your life to go to new places, you better believe that God's gonna bless your children for that. When you take steps of radical obedience in your life, your children will feel the blessing of that. Jesus said, if you love me and obey me, I will bless your children to the thousandth generation. There's a blessing that comes by your obedience. Sometimes it's not about what I wanna see God do in my life. And well, you know, God's not really moving, so I'm gonna start putting Netflix on more. I'm gonna start watching more games. I'm gonna start going to the lake every weekend because I kind of feel like maybe he'll do something to someone else. Don't stop having faith. And don't stop acting on your faith because there's a due inheritance and a reward for those that live by faith. The just shall live by faith. God's a rewarder of those that diligently seeks him. We are called to be a people of great faith, and our children will reap the benefits of that. Our faith will impact not just our generations that's coming after us, but nations of the world. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and his children should live lives in such a way that our scope is much bigger than West Texas. Our faith can reach India. Our faith can reach France. Our faith can reach South Africa. Our faith can reach Ethiopia. Our faith can reach across the borders that our passport shows us. Because all of it is the Lord's. And we ought to be a people that's fruitful and faithful because we live in faith. Let me close with this thought. If you don't mind standing with me. In verse 10, it said, for he was looking, Abraham was looking forward to the city that had foundations, whose designer and builder was God. Abraham, in the middle of his current situation where he was at, the way of life, what people believed, he knew inside, something had to change. Something had to shift. Something had to move. And it was, he had to move by faith. And it says in verse 9, he went not knowing where he was going. Even though Abraham did not know where he was going physically, they didn't have Google Earth back in the day. He couldn't map it out on a GPS. It was a genuine, real element of literally not knowing exactly what's waiting for him. But Abraham knew that he was looking for a city that was not an earthly city. It was not the city of this world. It was not a city that we could see with our eyes if we didn't look through the lens of faith. It was a very different city. It was the kingdom of God. It's so easy for us as believers to be tied up and entangled in living for the now, living for us, living for what culture says we need to live for, reaching and grabbing for power and for different things. But God's called us to live by faith and to see a city whose foundation is Jesus and whose builder and designer is God. And to live like that. In other words, we live in a generous way, not just financially, but with our lives, with our time. We give time to things the world won't give the time to. We give ourselves to people in a way the world won't give themselves to people. We love people in a way the world can't love people. We extend grace and mercy to people that the world can't do it, because we look to the city which God is building, whose foundation is Jesus. The designer and builder is God. Abraham went not knowing where he was going, but he was looking forward to a spiritual reality that's yet to manifest. And so is it for me and you as believers. We get up and we go set up an appointment to make a disciple, to help someone learn how to follow Jesus. We may do it different ways, but we do it. And we take some of our resources and have you ever like cut a check, a tithing check, and you're like, man, these 75 bills, this could really help. What if I just push five? And you're like, no, God, you are my provider. I trust you. And you cut that tithing check. Katie and I bought our first Dave Ramsey cash car in Nashville. I was so proud of it. I get in that car and I drive off, and the Lord said, okay, well, I want you to give this to a missionary. I was like, Lord, no. I am a missionary. Golly, I saved for this, we planned for it. I say, and Katie's not gonna believe me either, so if you gotta talk to her. She did believe me, and we did give that car away, but it took faith. And it blessed another missionary that needed the car. And then God gave us another car, praise God. Faith moves these believers. We look to a kingdom that's invisible. It's visible, but it's invisible. It's tangible, even though we can't physically touch it with our hands. But the kingdom of God is manifest and is revealed through his people when we live in faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now for everyone in this room. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not forget faith. Lord, to not neglect the faith that you've given us and are stirring within us, Lord. Father, you're so faithful, and you are worthy of our trust and our faith. And Lord, I pray for everybody in this room that you're calling to a new place and they walk with you. You're calling them forward. You're calling them upwards, saying, I want to do new things in you. They feel it. They sense it. They know, man, I'm done with this season. I'm done with thinking this way. I'm done with living this way. I'm done with acting this way. Lord, I pray that you would bring us by faith into this new place. Lord, I pray that as we say, God, I'm not just gonna believe intellectually, I'm gonna take steps of faith. I'm gonna go to 101, Father. I'm gonna go to 201, 301. I'm gonna go to an equip class. I'm gonna get in a group, Lord. I'm gonna start a group, Father. Lord, I'm gonna write that check that I need to write, or I'm gonna believe you that you will provide for me even though it looks impossible and it looks like I'm gonna lose my company or I'm gonna lose my house. Lord, I believe. Lord, I thank you for the gift of faith, and I pray that we would apply it accurately in Jesus' name.